invite you, if you would, take a Bible and turn to chapter 20. If you're using a pew Bible, it's on page 697, Matthew chapter 20, 16. This is Jesus speaking. He says, "For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire men to work for the day and sent them into his vineyard. And about the third hour, he went out and saw others standing in the marketplace doing nothing. He told them, 'You also go and work in my vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right.' So they went. He went out again about the sixth hour and the ninth hour and did the same thing. And about the 11th hour, he went out and found still others standing around, and he asked them, 'Why have you been standing here all day long doing nothing?' 'Because no one has hired us,' they answered. When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, 'Call the workers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last ones hired and going on to the first.' The workers who were hired about the 11th hour came, and each received a denarius. Came who were hired first, they expected to receive more. But each one of them also received a denarius. When they received it, they began to grumble against the landowner. 'These men who were hired last worked only 1 hour,' they said, 'and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the work and the heat of the day.' But he answered one of them, 'Friend, I'm not being unfair to you. Didn't you agree to work? Take your pay and go. I want you. Don't I have the right to do what I want with my own money? Or are you envious because I am generous?' So the last will be first." How do you feel about participation trophies? How do you feel about participation trophies? Part of us that we kind of recoil at the thought of participation trophies, and I feel like in recent days they're less in vogue than they were at one point. If you don't remember or know what a participation trophy is, a participation trophy is a trophy that everybody gets just because you participated. And your team could be the worst, your team could finish last. They look at you and they say, "Hey, good on you for showing up. Right? Here's your trophy." And you and I, when we think about participation trophies and when we critique them, I think in our modern day, we have to teach these kids how the world really works. Only the ones who work the hardest, who are the smartest, who are the fastest, who are the ones who really, really deserve a trophy, get a trophy. So all those other kids ought to look in jealousy and anger and envy as the champions get their trophies. And just learn that if you want to get by in life and you want a trophy, then you should work harder. Proverbs that commend hard work. There are a lot of things in the book of Proverbs that says, hey, if you don't get up and go work, you shouldn't expect to eat. A good work ethic is important in life. However, there are things you and I experience in life that come to us not because we deserve it or because we've earned it, but it is a gift of grace. And think about how frustrating it would be if you had to achieve something or accomplish something that was beyond your ability to achieve or accomplish, how hard you worked, no matter how much effort you put in. I'm currently jogging. I use the word jogging loosely. If you see me moving, I've passed a church member yesterday morning on my jog, and I mustered up enough breath to somewhat speak to him as I was passing by. And I texted him when I got home and I said, "It was such an encouragement to pass you on my jog. I needed that." To which he responded, "Yeah, it looked like you'd been running a while." I didn't ask, like, "What do you mean?" But like, I was still. But if I had to run cross country against like kids who were in over the mountain schools, and I had to run a 5K against them, do you know that they run miles quicker than 6 minutes? Like, that's not a big deal. If any of you who are over the age of 40 go out to the track, because you're going to hurt yourself. But just imagine like how fast you can run a mile, so that I could do everything possible I could train and train and eat right and do everything, and I'm still going to come in last place at the mission if I'm running against those kids. And there is this frustrating thing that if you understand life always as if it's the ones who have it together, it's the ones who are better, it's the ones who work harder, who are always going to get the rewards, then there is a part of you that life is very frustrating. Right? It's very frustrating. And for some of us, faith is very frustrating. Because we never do quite get it together. We never do quite feel like we earn or meet the requirements that are before us. It's ears that the gospel, I think, is the sweetest. Jesus tells this parable in Matthew chapter 20, and context is helpful. Before we get to this parable, Jesus has encountered a rich young man. And he comes up to Jesus and he asks him about inheriting eternal life, and they have this whole conversation. And this guy is rich, and he's also righteous. He's got the two, right? And he comes up, and he's done all the things on the outside. And Jesus says, but there's one thing that you lack. Sell everything you have and give it to the poor and come and follow me. And how does he respond? He's very sad because he had lots of stuff. And he walks away. And it starts this conversation between Jesus and Peter. Because Peter is thinking, hey, I actually did that. I actually did walk away from everything to follow you. What should I expect to receive? And again, we all just love Peter because Peter's these kids. Like, he just says what comes to his mind. He's not sophisticated and covering up. He's like, this young guy did not sell everything that he had. If you haven't noticed, Jesus, we've left everything to follow you. What should we expect that we're going to get? With him, he says, all right, everyone who's left houses or brothers or sisters or fathers or mother, children or lands for my name's sake will receive 100-fold and will inherit eternal life. He's like, Peter, you're going to get yours. Which might have then made Peter think, well, what about all the people who didn't? What about all the people who aren't quite as dedicated and righteous as me? What are they going to get? And Jesus ends that little conversation with Peter and he says, so the first will be last and many who are last will be first. And then he starts into this parable, and that last week, rather than you kind of saying, I'm excited, Jesus is teaching a parable, part of us are like, oof, I'm a little guarded here. Jesus is teaching a parable. It's going to be this story that it's going to seem fine at one point, but then he's going to like twist it. And I'm going to find myself convicted. There's a landowner who goes out to work in his vineyard. Now, this is something that you and I, with which you and I ought to be able to relate. He goes out and he needs some day laborers to work for him. And he goes out early in the morning and he hires some. And he says, I'm going to give you one day's wage for your work. And they say, Roger that. And they head out into the vineyard to work. And he returns several times. And I think when you read the parable, the conclusion at least leads me to believe that this guy didn't exactly need more people to work in his vineyard. He just kind of keeps going back, and I picture him as this very wealthy, very benevolent. All right, you're here. A couple hours later, 3 hours later, come on, you work. And I'll give you, notice that second group. He doesn't say exactly what he's going to give them, but he says, I'm going to give you what is right or what is just. A bit less than a day's wage because they didn't start with the other folks. Does it again, 6th hour, 9th hour. And then he goes at the 11th hour, which is a phrase that you and I kind of think about as like last minute, right? Hey, what are you doing standing here? Why aren't you working? And they say, because nobody has hired us. And he says, well, fine then, I'll hire you. Go work. This past week, and I pictured picking up sides like, in a gym or on a playground. We're about to play a game. And some of you, even now, as I talk about picking sides, you have great anxiety about your childhood. You're standing. They're the ones who kind of everybody wants to play on their team. And they're like, I'll take you. Another person, I'll take you. And it's a really uncomfortable situation, especially if you're one of the last two standing there. And you're kind of looking at your, one of us will go last. It's like in the NFL draft. What do we call that guy? Mr. Irrelevant? With the very last pick in the NFL draft, we choose Wayne Swan. And I think perhaps that's up and running as the owner of the land goes out, that these people were just not people that you would pick first to work for you. That big, maybe the ones who were going to get a whole lot of work done for you that day. And so they're standing out there and they're very desperate to be hired. And lo and behold, this guy comes by at the 11th hour and hires them. He sends them out into the vineyard to work. And they're out there for an hour, and you might kind of imagine the clock or the whistle at the end of the day blows and they all line up to get paid. And the owner of the vineyard gives very specific instructions to pay them. But what I want you to do is I want you to start with the people that I hired last and work your way back to the people that I hired first. So picture just kind of a bunch of guys, a guy who's going to pay them, and they can see what's happening. And when the ones who got there at 5 o'clock, they start to get paid and they get a day's wage. Full day's wage. They didn't deserve it. They didn't earn it. Apart from the owner's grace and kindness and mercy, they would have stood there all day in the marketplace, never to be hired. They would go back, hey, I didn't get hired today. There is not enough money. Just living on kind of hand to mouth. And here they are, and they get a full day's wage. How do you think they felt in that moment? Like excitement. I'm going to go home now, and I'm going to tell my family that the craziest thing happened today. Just hoping that somebody would come by. He did. He sent me out. And would you believe it? He gave me a full day's wage for my work. We get maybe partial payment, and here they are getting everything that everybody else got. Well, good for them. So the people who got hired first, what are they thinking? They're like, oh, this guy is incredibly generous. Did you notice that those people who just got here, who probably aren't even sweaty, they don't have any sore muscles. Their knees aren't tired from bending down, picking grapes, however you pick grapes. I've never picked grapes. I haven't hardly experienced any of that. Not the heat of the day. Look at all the things that we've done. Surely we're going to get more. Surely we deserve more. Surely we've earned a little bit more than them. And they come, and what do they get? They get a day's wage just like they agreed. And they went home so grateful and thankful for what they had. It's kind of the expected ending of the parable. You know it doesn't end that way. They grumble. Isn't that a wonderful word? They grumble. It's the master, and they kind of like, how could you? You paid these folks that just got here the same thing that you paid us, and we've been out here working in the heat of the day. We earned more than they earned. And there's this wonderful interaction when the owner of the vineyard, he starts out and he says, and that word friend is a word that's not like, hey, like that you really have a lot of history with. It's more like, hey, it's kind of resetting the expectations for this relationship. Friend, didn't I give you what I said I would give you? Didn't we make a deal for one day's wage for the work that you put in? And then he asks these great questions that really, really are convicting for me, at least. Eat what belongs to you and go. Kind of this idea of, listen, you should probably just take your money and get on out of here now. Right? Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give to this last worker as I give. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Wouldn't you have liked to have been there if this parable was like really happening in real life? It's one of those things where they went probably from being kind of proud and arrogant and like, hey, what are you doing? And the owner of the vineyard is like, well, by the way, friend, we're not that close. Oh, and by the way, everything's mine. And I get to do what I want to with it. Take what's yours and go, what belongs to me. And then there is this wonderful question, or do you begrudge my generosity? I can picture some of you parents today at lunch. We're having peanut butter and jelly. That's what you're getting. Well, we think we deserve steak. Like, there is this part of us that he owes us something, that there is our debt. And especially if we're the people who have been in it for longer. I've been doing all this labor for you. And that question really reveals the motivation behind your faithfulness or your service to the Lord. Think about the parable of the prodigal son in Luke chapter 15, which I'm convinced there's a lot of Bible and gospel in the parable of the prodigal son. The younger son comes to him and he says, hey, I'll just go ahead and take mine now. And he gives it to him and he runs. And he just goes hog wild as long as he can until the money runs out. And he gets the end of his rope and he gets low enough and he's like, wait a minute, maybe if I just go back, he'll treat me like a servant. And he comes back and the father's waiting on him. He runs out. You know the story, perhaps. And it's get the robe, get the ring, get the fattened calf. We're about to feast and throw a party. And whom? The older brother. The one who's been there the whole time, the one who's been working in the fields, the one who's been doing everything right. And he and the father have this conversation about this celebration and this party. And the brother's like, this son party. And he says it was right for us to throw a party, that he was dead, effectively. And then he tells the older brother something that I think is powerful. He's like, and you've been with me the whole time, and everything that I have here is yours. But he thinks he's missing out on part of the inheritance because now we got to give more to the younger brother who messed it up and he doesn't deserve it. And there is this spiritual principle that Jesus is highlighting, that you and I, if we're not careful, there is some understanding of the gospel that if I come early and I do all these wonderful things for the Lord, then surely I'm like Peter and he owes me a little bit more than the people who come later in life. And the truth of the gospel is that you and I deserve nothing from the Father at all, full stop. That you and I were not the first choices for the sports team. We're not the first and the best intellect to go out into the vineyards and do the most. Like, we are the people who were standing there just hoping to finally get picked. And the Lord, because of his grace and his kindness and his mercy, he chooses us and he sets his love on us and he gives us this inheritance that's ours through faith in Jesus. And the right posture of our hearts now ought to be to get on this. I don't care who you are. I don't care where you're from. I don't care what you've done. That the Father has been so generous and gracious to me that I want to have that same heart to be generous and gracious to others, to celebrate the goodness of all that God has done for us in Jesus. That there's plenty. And ultimately, all of it belongs to him, and he's not going to consult me with what to do with it and who to give it to. To be said of me that I begrudge the generosity of the Lord. I underlined that verse a long time ago in my Bible and just wrote out in the margin, this is a good one for you to underline. Begrudge the generosity of the Lord in someone else's life. Another way you would write that is, do you look upon the Lord's generosity, he says. Do you begrudge my generosity? And I just wrote out, may it never be, Lord. May it never be that I begrudge your generosity. And as I think back on think about God's goodness and kindness and the truth of the gospel is that everything that the Lord allows me to do and experience in his service, that I wouldn't trade it for anything else or those seasons when I've been out living in a way that's not faithful. That to be obedient and to walk in his way and to be a part of his work in the world is the most joyful path that I can take. And I want every like the thief that dies on the cross. There should be no part of my heart that's like, well, who invited him? Why does he get the same thing that I get? And the truth and the reality is that if all of us got what was just, if all of us got what we deserve, none of us would have any part in the Lord. So really, the only trophies in the kingdom of God are participation trophies. Participation through faith in what Jesus did for us through his life, death, and his resurrection. You don't get anything based on your merit. It's all a gift of his merit and grace, and you ought to want that for others. Alabama pains me to say this. They've been good at football for a while. I'm from South Carolina. I'm an outsider. When was it Ethan was making the announcement? He's like, I don't know what time your team plays on Saturday. I no longer care, right? Mark, sign me up. I'll be there. But I was thinking about Alabama, and did you know what your job or your position is with the team? If you are associated with them at all, if you win a national championship, do you know what you get? A ring. You get a national championship ring just like everybody else. And I have a good friend who was associated with the team back when this little guy named Derrick Henry was playing. And they won a national championship. Got exactly the same ring as Derrick Henry. Even with his last name on it. He sent me a picture of it because I texted him about it this week. And I was like, you even get your name on it. How preposterous. And he said, just for context, I rushed for 0 carries for 0 yards. It's just kind of a beautiful picture, I think, of the gospel. That Jesus did all the work, and we get the reward on his merits. And the riches of what we've shared in as well. I invite you to pray with me. Father, thank you to us. We don't deserve to receive anything from you, but you graciously and mercifully allow us to be a part of your work in the world and to experience your salvation through faith in Jesus. And so, Lord, we pray that we would understand the generosity that you've shown us and that we would show it to others. Give your blessing so that others might experience all that you would have for them to know in Jesus. And we offer this prayer in his holy name. Amen.